Joining us on the line from Israel, Rolene Marks. Rolene, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Tom, I tell you, this is using tech for good.
It really is, isn't it? Is gender-based violence and domestic
Absolutely.
Violence a problem in Israel?
You know what? We have had quite a few cases over the last year. We've had about 27 deaths as a result of gender-based violence, and this is an issue that Israel takes very, very seriously. And this is across various sectors of society. It's not any one sector in particular. It affects rich and poor. It affects the different groups of society here. And I don't think that gender-based violence is an issue that relevant to any particular country. I think this is a societal issue. It's an issue that society, the world over to deal with. And, you know, we talk about some of the mechanisms that Israel has put in place with gender-based violence, but also how Israel has worked to combat human trafficking. You know, several years ago, Israel was one of the worst countries in terms of allowing for the trafficking of women and other vulnerables. And today, for the eighth year in a row, we are the top tier country in combat with the trafficking of women, people in community. But gender-based violence is something that we take very, very seriously. From one of the foremost women's organizations, this is something that is on the top of our agenda and something that we work with government and other organizations continuously to help combat.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned before that that you're involved with this setting up of safe havens, of places of safety for women who might be experiencing some form of abuse or who are particularly vulnerable.
Well, I can speak on behalf of WITA, the Women's International Zionist Organization, and we have two battered women's shelters. I'm not going to say where they are, but also, in addition to that, we also run the only two men's lines in the country. So men who are on the verge of acting out or are thinking of acting out, they have a hotline to call to try and take preventative measures so that we can help combat this. At the end of last year, when we had our 26th death in the country as a result of gender-based violence, we convened a summit of the members of the government, the police, and the other women's organizations to come up with a working plan to deal with violence based on gender. And we also started work in the prisons with men who have been imprisoned as a result of domestic violence or murder to try and look at the reasons why they act the way they do, what are the triggers, how do we rehabilitate this, how do we stop this. So looking at the issue from a variety of angles and you know, just reiterate people, it doesn't just affect poorer communities or more vulnerable communities. This is an issue that is a societal issue everywhere in the world, whether you are wealthy or not, whether you are a new immigrant or not, whether you come from a third world country or not. This is a major issue. And of course, we also have to deal with the very delicate issues in some of the communities, in the ultra orthodox, it's taboo. Often women don't see these incidents and they're starting to speak out more. And then we have to deal with the delicacies of our leaders, working with the rugged north or working in territory, with the imams. So many people would have heard of the phenomenon called honor killings. This is quite prevalent in the Middle East. It's something that does still happen very much today. This is often in the Arab community when a woman is perceived to have brought shame on her family, which is seen as not chosen for her to marry, whether she makes those decisions herself. And sometimes even when a woman is raped, she is seen to have brought dishonor on her family. And we have a horrible, horrible phenomenon called honor killings, which happens in the region, but also in Western countries as well.
So, Rilene, a couple of things that you said there that I thought is very, very interesting. Firstly, just going all the way back to what you said earlier, and Zanati, I thought that was a very really fascinating in that there's a helpline for men who are at risk of acting out. I think that is interesting. Mm. I think dealing with men and talking to men in prisons to try and understand how they got to the point that they would have behaved in such a way. I find that interesting because I think so much of us, so many of us actually spend the time rather focused
talking to
on talking to women
that avoid this warning women instead of actually going to the actual perpetrators that
I think that's a really fascinating and different way of trying to understand it. And of course the next thing that is important is that this is across different cultures, religions, more religious, less religious. And in fact I remember having a conversation with a social worker on one of my trips to Israel where she was doing an incredible amount of work in B'nai Brak, which is the ultra-Orthodox, one of the ultra-Orthodox communities. And she said to me, don't assume that the numbers of spousal abuse and domestic violence is any different in the ultra-Orthodox community as it is in any other community. This is across the numbers, sadly, are actually the same in every area. So we shouldn't think that just because people appear to be religious or more observant means that they're immune to it. And of course the third thing is dealing with different cultures where you might have within an Arab community, you might have the issues of honor killings. Within the Orthodox or ultra-Orthodox Jewish community, you have issues of women sometimes not being able to speak about some of the experiences that they've been through. So I think all of these things are very, very relevant and actually could be very important lessons for us to bring here to South Africa.
Absolutely, and you know we are always ready to help and ready to advise. One of the things when we are dealing with any issues related to gender is, as you've just said, and as you and Zanati have just, we take one gender. We have to talk to men as well, whether we're talking issues of domestic violence, issues of why it's important for women to have pay parity. On any issue where we're discussing gender, we have to include both genders.
Yeah. And funny enough, a lot of people like to, it's this whole stay in your lane thing.
Don't get me started.
No, a lot of people, and especially the work generation, where when it comes to issues concerning women, they're like, no, men must not get involved in the conversation.
Well, I have that. You know, remember when I wrote that article about dealing with discrimination, gender discrimination in the workplace, and a very prominent South African publication would not, they liked my article, they agreed with everything, but they didn't want a male providing the solution to this, otherwise there's going to be a perception that it's being imposed upon. I mean, what a load of nonsense.
It really is.
What a load of nonsense. Don't tell me to stay in my
lane. As you said, we're all in the same pool.
Exactly. We're swimming in the same pool. Mm. And if you're going to try and divide us, then we're never going to find these solutions to this. So very, very interesting. Rilene Marks, thank you for that. The other thing, and of course, we need to talk about is coronavirus has visited South Africa. We've got our first case here. It is the Italian one, which Zanati and I are slightly relieved about because obviously it's much more stylish. But that aside, Israel's reaction to the coronavirus very, very, it looks to me to be extreme. Tens of thousands of Israelis are in quarantine.
But I'm behind it.
So how do you like that? Mm. Only because you can stay home and watch
that.
Netflix.
Are we suffering from paranoia? This is what everybody is asking. And there are a lot of us saying that to the extreme, and yet in this morning is that
The line has just really, really gone bad. You know, I'm just going to try something a little bit different. Can you hear us now?
Yeah.
You're right. So what were you saying about Bethlehem? They're on lockdown.
Bethlehem is on complete lockdown, and Palestinian Authority are not allowing any tourists into food or just anybody in the food industry right now, because I think this is the most heavy hit area. And the government yesterday promising that they will put together an emergency fund to help companies that have been hit by corona. But a lot of flights being suspended to Israel. Israel has suspended flights to a number of European countries as well, and as a result of that, we heard yesterday from Lufthansa, they are suspending Lufthansa, Austrian Airlines and Swiss Airlines flights to Israel. I mean, the airport, which is normally insanely busy, is at an absolute standstill, unless you really have to travel. And today, which would have been a day where we would have seen Adloyadas across the countries, including Rantianudi, where I am, have all been cancelled. So really a sense of pandemic the right word across the country at the moment. Many Israelis are saying it's absolutely nonsense, but this is the government, I think, taking all precautions because we don't know enough about this virus, and very, very heavy penalties if you break quarantine, if you've been put under quarantine. And so far, the police have arrested two people for breaking their quarantine.
Incredible. I tell you, if anything makes me nervous, that actually is Israel's reaction to this. Because I feel like they, you know, again, I don't want to cause panic, but I mean, I've already caused panic, so that's fine. We actually had to have a psychologist on because I told our listeners that we were all going to die from it, which apparently the kids didn't react well to. But never mind that. The fact is that Israel's reaction does make me quite nervous. I'd see, by the way, that just an announcement, KwaZulu-Natal school closed in fear of coronavirus. The first positive case of COVID-19 reported March the 5th yesterday in South Africa, and now Cowan House Prep School in KwaZulu-Natal is closed. So the reaction is quite extreme, but Israel clearly taking no chances.
Well, we're hoping that as the temperatures rise, that this will start to dissipate. But it's so unknown. Israel's not taking any chances with letting them into our country.
Yeah. Really, really interesting indeed. Rolly Marks, thank you as always. Great to speak to you. Apologies, the line wasn't a clear one. We'll catch you next week. It's just about to go 8 o'clock.